All right, so we're going to start at the bottom of Yudalat Amud Bet. Today we discussed here, we're discussing the process of bringing a mincha, in general, the general process of bringing a mincha. So in the process of bringing the mincha, person, when they place the levona, when they place the frankincense into the mincha, then he has to move it to the side in order to take off the komets. Once the komets is placed in another kli sharet, then that levona that's left inside the mincha, you also remove that and place it with the komets in the kli sharet, the second kli sharet. Dichtiv, how do we know that you take out the levona and join it with the komets? Ve'et kol levona asher al mincha, that which is going to be brought on the mizbeach with the komets is the levona that was on the mincha. Umaleyu, umaktiro ubekli sharet. Then you take it in a kli sharet up to the mizbeach to put it on the mizbeach. Klisharit, maktile? Since when? What do you mean? You stick the klisharis onto the fire? How do you, what does that mean that you're gonna put in a klisharis onto the mizbeach? Right? So, ela ema maleu bi klisharit lehaktiro. So amend the Mishnah, or the Braisa really, to read that you bring it up in a klisharis to the mizbeach, and then from the klisharis you place it onto the mizbeach. Umolcho, then you have to salt it, v'notno agav yishim, and place it on the fire, dechtiv. Right, so that there's a requirement of salt on all carbonot, or here a carbonot and menachot require salt to be placed in them. So now, kareva komets, shirea nechalim. And once the komets is brought on the mizbeach, the remainders, the leftovers, are eaten by the kohanim. Right, similar to what we have by a zevach. Right, that the zevach is once kiper habalim, then the kohanim can eat. You know, once the dam goes onto the mizbeach for a regular korban, or the chilev, or be makter on the mizbeach, that the chilek of the mizbeach is done, then the kohanim are mutar to eat their chilek of the korban. So it's over here. Once the komets ends up on the mizbeach, kohanim are mutar to eat their shirayim. Inolan, dechtiv, viktira kohenet askarata. Right, it says that the askarata, what's the remembrance that ends up in the mizbeach? That's the komets and the levona. Dechtiv, anoteret min mincha, laron uvanav. So that whatever's left over in the remaining part of the mincha belongs to Aron uvanav. So, therefore, once you have been maktir the komets, then by no teret min mincha laron uvanav, that which is left over goes to Aron uvanav. Now, kareva komets, what does it mean to put the komets on the mizbeach? When does it consider that you've already put the komets on? The market eat play or the market eat play? There's two opinions, each one according to their own opinion. Did my komets may matai matir shirayim be'achila? At one point, does the komets, is it matir the shirayim to be eaten? So, v'chadina amar mishetish lo t'ba'or. As soon as the fire catches on it, once the fire's caught the komets, then we assume it's going to burn and everything is fine. Once you reach that point, then shirayim are mutar for the kohanim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mishetitzatet Ha'or Berubo. No, that the rove of the komets has already caught fire in order for it to be mutar for the kohanim to eat the shirayim. So it's a question whether the komets actually has to be consumed, meaning that the rove is already done, or does it just have to be on the mizbeach and that the fire has already taken hold of the komets and that's sufficient. Virashaim kohanim liten l'tocho yayin v'shemen udvash. So we said yesterday, right, that the kohanim have permission to eat their shirayim any way they like. They can add wine to it, they can add oil, and they can add honey, despite the fact that the dvash, for instance, is not allowed to be on the mizbeach, right, and possibly in other places where there's no requirement of shemen, then the kohanim can place shemen in there for their own benefit. But the only thing they cannot do is allow it to become chametz, my taima. Amakra, the moshcha, right, it says by the menachotah, it's the moshcha, the gedula. What does it mean? The mashcha is like the term mashuach, the one who's anointed. So here it means the mashcha, when you eat the korban mincha, the mashcha is, right, legdula. That it can be eaten in a way that is, you know, very pleasant, but also something that is dignified in a way that they enjoy the most. Kederach shemalachim achulim, just like the kings eat. You know, they can do whatever they like to the mincha to make it into a pleasant and delightful, delectable mincha for them, because it's going to be eaten like the way that the kings eat. They are similar to chametz, right? That it's not allowed to the shirayim. The leftovers cannot become chametz. Dichtiv lo tefeh chametz chelkam. So that you're not allowed to cook any of the menachot chametz. So here the Gemara is going to dash in the word chelkam. Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Lakish, afilu chelkam lo tefeh chametz. Reverse the pasuk. Don't say lo tefeh chametz chelkam, but chelkam lo tefeh chametz. Even their portion may not be baked into chametz. Now the Gemara is done with that, right? And the Braisa goes back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah distinguishes between the Minchat Sota versus a regular Mincha. In a regular Mincha, you have Shemen and Levona, whereas the Mincha of the Sota does not have Shemen and Levona. A regular Mincha comes from Chitim, comes from wheat, whereas the Mincha, Sota comes from barley. So now the Gemara says we're going to challenge that basic assumption. Right, there is another mincha that comes that also does not have Shem and Levona. That's the minchat choteh. Right, that's a sin offering. When is the minchat brought? That's for any korban that is an obeh v'yoreid. Right, korbanot that are flexible based on one's socioeconomic status. Right, that there's listed in the parsha of korban obeh v'yoreid. So there, the first, if you have the highest form of korban obeh is brought as an animal. Then in between you have birds, and then the lowest form is the mincha. So this mincha choteh does not have shemen and levona with it. The Rachman Amar lo sima le shemen, lo yitena le levona. So what do you mean that the sota mincha sota is an exception in the fact that it doesn't have shemen and levona? Right? It's also the mincha choteh is a similar type of structure. So Gemara says, "Hafi kamar kol minachot teunim shemen levona uba'ot minachitim uba'ot solit." There's a general principle about menachot. They all have oil, right? The bona frankincense. They come from wheat, and they come from refined flour. I mean, the finest of the flour. Minchat choteh. So now we're going to see that there's exceptions to parts of this, but not all of them. I mean, they at least have a portion of these requirements. Minchat choteh. Af pishenu to una shemen levona ba minachitim uba solit. Even though it does not require shemen levona, it still requires that it comes from chitim and it has solit. It comes from the finest flour. Minchata Omer, which is also an exception that was mentioned in our Mishnah, Afal Bishi Ba Minas Se'orim. So even though it's similar to the Minchat Sotah that comes from barley, nevertheless, Tunas Shemen Levona, it still gets Shemen Levona, Uba Avora Girish, and it also comes, right, from the finest part, meaning from a refined barley flour, not with the whole wheat in there. So, Zu, Eina Tuna Lo Shemen, Velo Levona, Uba Minas Se'orim, Uba Kemach. So the Minchat Sotah is negatively associated with menachot, and that it's missing any one of these items. It does not have shemen levona, does not come from chitim, it comes from se'orim, and even when it comes from the se'orim, it comes from the unrefined flour, it comes from the straight, from the whole wheat aspect of the barley, right? the whole barley. So therefore, that's what the negative aspect of minchat sotah is versus any other mincha. And that's what we said in our Mishnah. Why is it that you have to bring it in such a negative way? And that's the end of the Mishnah, which we're going to get to in a minute, but that's what Gamliel said at the end of the Mishnah. Kashem Shem Aseh Behema. She's like, she acted in a, like an animal, right? Kach, Karbana Machal Behema. So it's her, Karbana Sadr Behema. Satanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, it's an interesting Gemara. Bedinu, Shetei Minchat Chotei Tunu Shemen Vilobona. The mincha of a choteh, which we discussed above, that comes dry, does not come with shemen, and does not come with levona, you would think should require it to have shemen levona. Why? So why is it that we bring it dry? We bring it dry because it's a minchat choteh, which comes from a chet. So chet, we don't want to dress up a chet and make it, right, nice and beautiful. We'll make it dry and simple because that's coming with chet. But he says then, shloi chet choteh niskar. That means someone who did a chet is actually benefiting in the sense that he can bring a cheaper, right, mincha. Yeah, the mincha, if you, regular mincha, if you brought it, came with shemen, levonak, was all these, right, the accoutrements, all these additives that you have to put in there, the shemen, the levona, it's much more expensive to bring. Here, this guy's a chota, and he's bringing a mincha, and he gets off without bringing shemen and levona. It's a cheaper form. It really shouldn't work that way. Right? Why is it that it does not require these condiments here? Shaloye karbono mudar. That his carbon will not be nice, will not be beautiful. V'dinhu. Shetei chatas cheler tuna nisachim. The same thing is true of a chatas. A regular chatas, behema. Right? Why is it called a chatas chelev? This is interesting. A chelev is the classic example what's used for both the chiv karas and for korban chatat. So Rashi over here points out that every chatat stam, a regular chatat, is called chatat chelev because they're written, the parshiot they're written are juxtaposed. So therefore, anytime we talk about chatas, since the parsha afterwards is called chelev, choldam lo techelo, and then right afterwards it says the parsha of chatat, the Gemara, whenever it wants to talk about a plain chatas, talks about a chatas chelev. Right? So therefore, the chatas chelev should also require nisachim, to require the libations that come along with it, which are the, right, there's actually a mincha, there's a wine and shemen that all come, the nisachim that come with it. So we have a drasha that nisachim only apply to things that become nidar v'nidev, things that are brought can be brought voluntarily, which means that only an olah and a shlamim require nisachim, but not a chatas. A chatas does not require nisachim. So he says, the Gemara says, well, it should require nisachim, shlo yehi chote niskar. The same principle we said by the mincha. Here, the chote brings a chatas, and then he doesn't have to bring nisachim. He gets away with paying less. Aval, why doesn't it come with it? Shlo yehi chote niskar, mipnao ayinu tuna, shlo yehi karbono mudar. Again, nisachim, the libation, the wine, and the shemen, all those that come with it, are enhancements to the karban. They make it right, special. And therefore, since the chatas here is brought, is not supposed to be special, it's something that's a negative karban, therefore they're not included over here. Aval, so what are the exceptions? Where do we have a chatas that does have an isachim, even though in the general principle is that they don't need them? Chatatosho mitzora ve'ashamo tu'unim nisachim. That the mitzoras asham and mitzoras chatat do require nisachim. So here we have a chatas that does have nisachim. Why is it that the chatas of the mitzora has nisachim? Because they don't come for a chet. The mitzora at the end, why is he bringing karbanot at the end? He's bringing them in order to be, he's a mechusar kapara, right? He's lacking kapara and he wants to be able to enter the mikdash and eat pachim, so he's bringing his karbanot at the end. So our change the challenge is that, Ini, is that really true? That he doesn't bring his carbon out of chait, why is he a mitzorah? How did he become a mitzorah? So that the Gemara in Erechim says that the Shivama Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Rabbi Onatan the Shiva Dvarim the Gaim Bayim. He became a mitzorah for seven reasons there, and the seven reasons there are right, all negative things that a person does. You know, talking about the most famous one that everybody knows is Lashon Hara, right? But it says people step out who are don't know their place. All sorts of the seven items that are listed there in the Gemara in Erechim, but they're all chatayim, they're all negative aspect. So here he gets negayim for having these negative midot or acting in such a manner, and you're saying to me that the chatat at the end is not for his chait? Someone says, no, you know why? Hatam in the ge'ehu di'chaperle. No, what's the punishment for what he did is the negayim themselves. What's the punishment? The serim and the boshen and the embarrassment of having a nega and being host, he has to sit, badad yeshev, chutz ha-machaneh, has to sit alone outside the machaneh. That's the punishment for his chait. What about the karban? Ki mighty karban is shuriyeh because shimhu the kamaiti. The karban has nothing to do with the chait anymore. The chait was nitzchafer with that which he was embarrassed and he had all the boshen. The karbanot are not associated with that. Karbanot are empty matra him. It's a specific het there to get back into the, to eat kodesh and to get into the mikdash. So that is separate from the chait itself, and therefore the chatat and the shum that he's bringing are a part of the process, the talicha tara, the process of tara for the mitzorah, but not associated with his chait that he did originally. So now, the question is, which is, since we just finished up Nazir, if you say that a chatos, that's in a process, in talicha tara, should not require, right, should require an isachim, because of mitzorah, so too by the chatat ha-nazir. The nazir didn't do anything wrong, and he brings a chatas at the end of his nazirut. So that chatas should also have nisachim, because it's worth the, that chatas is also to take out away from him the mechusarei, well, it's not really a mechusar kapara, but to take away, to allow him to drink wine and to cut his hair, to end the process of nazirut. So why over there should it not require nisachim? So the Gemara says, of course, the famous line, Sabra lo, Rablazer HaKapar, also like Rablazer HaKapar, Amar Nazir Nami Chotehu, that a Nazir is also Chote, why? Shetzir Etzmo Minayayim, because already he restricted himself from drinking wine, and therefore he is also considered a Chote. Since he's considered a Chote, the Chatat at the end does come to be Mechaper, even though, so this is what Tosus points out here, but there's a long Tosus here, bothered me in Nazir, but it wasn't addressed as much in Nazir, but the Gemara vacillates between the idea that the chatas, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, in the beginning of Nazir, learns his limud from, there are actually two chataot mentioned by a Nazir. There's a chatat of the Tameh. Someone who comes to Tameh brings three karbanot. When he finishes up, right, he has to bring up three karbanot. And then there is a three karbanot for someone who completes the Nazirut. Both of them involve a chatas. The chatas by the Tameh is a bird, right, because you have an ola and a chatat that are birds. But the chatas that's brought by the end of Nazir is actually a behemah, an animal. So for sure, birds do not get nisachim. So one question would be about the chatas of Tara. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, in the beginning of the Masechta Nazir, it says he made his limud on the chatas of the Tameh, and Nazir became Tameh. So when I ask why by there does it say the Chatas of the Kapara, and that's not by the Chatas of the Tara. There the Gemara said because what? We're afraid that when he becomes Tameh, and therefore it undermines all of his Nizirut, he's going to have to repeat his Nizirut again. When he has to repeat his Nizirut again, he's going to get dragged on, and he's not going to really want to do it, and he's going to be Toel Rishonim, he's going to regret that he retook the Nizirut. It's going to be challenging for him at that point. But a regular Nazir, we don't worry about that. But later on in the Sechta, we had this Gemara where a husband, right, a wife takes behemot from a husband and she's makdish them for a karban nazir. At the end, the husband is okir the nazirut, right? The husband eliminates the nazirut for her. So there the Gemara assumes, even though the halacha, we think that the husband is only okir bikaran laba, but there the Gemara said, even if the husband is okir miikara, nevertheless the chata stays. Why is the chata stay? Because until that point, until that point, she was tirat tma min hayayin, based on Rav Elazar HaKapar, this idea that tirat tma. So there the Gemara says that it applies even by a nazir tohora. Even by a regular nazir, we have this case that the chata supplies. So Tosfos goes and points out in many places that it seems to be that the Gemara is soter itself in many places, that some places the Gemara says it's unique, that the chata of a nazir, when we say the chota is only by tuma. Other places the Gemara says it even applies by a nazir tohora, which is our Gemara right here, just said that it's a nazir tohora. So Tosfos tries to say that there's a difference in the stam of the Gemara versus Shmuel and other places. He tries to differentiate that the Gemara itself applies it more broadly, but Shmuel only applies it in certain cases. And he goes through it. It's a lot of trouble reconciling throughout Shas, but just to note that there is an inconsistency in the Gemara. I don't have a good solution to it right now, but there is an inconsistency in the Gemara whether to apply this idea that Chatas applies to a Nazir Torah, that Rav Elazar HaKapar's din applies there, or does it only apply by a Nazir Tameh. Our Gemara here clearly applies it even to a Nazir Tahor, and therefore does not require Nisachim by a Nazir Tameh. Rabbi Gamliel Omer. So Rabbi Gamliel says at the end of our Mishnah, Kishem, right? Kishem she maaseha maaseh behema. So too, right? Her karban is a karban behema. So truthfully, Rabbi Gamliel's statement is misplaced here. We had a Mishnah in the first paragraph that said midah keneged midah, right? That the whole process of it, right? By the midah keneged midah, by the karban of the, or not by the maaseh sota. Whatever she did, we do something to her in the process. So we had that. Why isn't Rabbi Gamliel's statement found back there? And all of a sudden it shows up in our mission over here. So now Gemara says, Tanya Amar Lahan, Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim. So he says, to the Chachamim, Sofrim, Heinichuli, leave me alone, or let me, Medrash Shena, and I'll explain it, Kamin Chomer. So this word Chomer, right, is an unclear term, what it means, Chomer. So Rashi, it's interesting here, if you look at the last Rashi on the page, Rashi says Chomer. What does he say over there?
Button.
Exactly. It says, Button Velash, who shall zahav, it's made out of gold, v'chot min, right, boshne tzavrei chaluk lenoi. That's how you button together the two tops of, right, the tops, the collar, you button it together with this button, right, for, it looks good when you button it together with this golden button. So there, Rashi thinks it's a button, so I think what the implication here, according to Rashi, is that, leave me alone and I'll make it fit. I mean, like, a button fits into the hole, I'll make this drasha fit. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Look, it tells brings three alternatives to what this word chomer means, right? The last Tosin says, perish Rabbeinu Hillel Margalit, some sort of jewel, and so I'll make it beautiful. Other one is Inyan Acher's Bosem, right, that it is a perfume, right? I'll make it smell nice, so I'll fix it up, and right? Both of those have the same implications. And the last one he brings in the last line is, Inyan Acher, perish Rabsadja, Gaon, Kamin, Hamah, Kamina ma'aseh. I'll make it a ma'aseh. Right? That's it. If you want to talk about something in, he quotes over here from the Aruch, although he spells it differently, that Homer with a hey. He says Homer the hey in Aramit, in Aramaic, is the lashon of action or doing something. So if you leave me alone, I'll fix it. Kamin Homer. I'll make sure that it fits in. So what's the problem here? Right? So this is the problem. So Homer says, what was the problem? The Shamel Rabbi Meir to Kamar. He heard what Rabbi Meir said, right? Rabbi Meir explained in the previous perek that what? He echilato madnei olam lepikach karbana makal behema. Right, so that is, she fed him all these, you know, delicacies in order to, you know, before they got involved in their act, and therefore her karban is a makal behema, migda kenegemida. She fed him all this great food, so therefore her karban is a karban of a behema, brought a sorin. So the Gemara or the others, the Rabbanim challenged Rabbi Meir and said, "Leyatinach ashira." That's true if she's a wealthy woman. Aniya ma'ika lemeimar. She's not a wealthy woman. What are you going to say? I mean, she didn't feed him all these wonderful delicacies. Right? She didn't have anything to feed him. She was poor. So then what's the mita, connected mita of the minchas of sota then? Ella, so that's what Gamliel comes to say over here. Ella, kishem shemaseh maseh behema, karkabana machal behema. Since her actions were actions of a behema, therefore her karban is a karban behema. Meaning that now it makes sense, because then even whether she's rich or poor, her actions are still actions of a behema. Since her actions are behema, because she's hitkira at smala tashmish, that's what Rashi says, she ain't a bin zuka, right? She's not monogamous, right? So therefore she acted like a behema. Therefore, her karban is mida k'neged mida, is the karban of a behemah. That's what Rabbi Gamliel comes to address over here. Rabbi Gamliel and Arva Mishnah, once we discuss the fact that a minchat sodah comes from se'orim, and how do we differentiate it from a minchat omer, that's where Rabbi Gamliel puts in his statement, and he's coming to address what Rabbi Meir said in the first parak about mida k'neged mida. That he said it was about that she fed him adnei melech, and he said that fails when you have an aniyah, a poor person. So that's where Rabbi Gamliel comes and says, I can create it, even by a poor person, I can create the situation where it's mida k'neged mida. Right now, the Mishnah continues about the process of feeding the sota. Haya mevi pili shel cheres. She brings some sort of vessel, utensil of a cup that's made out of earthenware, or made out of cheres clay. V'notein l'tocha chatzi lug mayim. You place into it a half a lug of mayim in a kior, from the kior in the mikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Meir v'eats. Right, that it's only revi'it. Kashem shemayit b'chtav, kamim mayit b'mayim. We'll see later on. Rabbi Yehuda has that there's a machlokas about how much of the parsha you have to write into the parshat sotah before you erase it. So, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you need less writing, also requires less water. So he says you only need a revi'it, a look of mayim, in order to put into this parli. So now, nichnas lehichal, so now you have to get dirt, right? Part of the process of the tarata sota is what? That he puts in kli, he puts in mayim to the kli cheres, and then what does he do? He has to go and get, he says, v'kriva kohen v'imidalik neshim, l'kach kohen mayim kdoshim. He has to take the holy water, v'kli cheres. He has to place it into an earthenware or a clay vessel, umin ha'afar, sheyeh v'karka mishkan, from the dirt that's on the floor of the mishkan, y'kach kohen natan ala mayim. Then he places it into the water. So now the Gemara says, where does he get the dirt from the Karka Mishkan? So where does he get that from? In the Mishkan, that was easy, right? Because they built it in there was no floor to the Mishkan, they were in the desert, so it was easy to get dirt. What happens in the Mikdash? Right, the Mikdash has a stone floor. So in a stone floor, what do they do to get the dirt? So now he goes, Nichnas leheikal, goes to the heikal, upanel mino. He goes to the right side, umakoma yasham amalama. There's a 1x1 amal location there, which had a stone. The tabla shel shais, right, at a marble stone, there was a ring in it, meaning that it was a way to lift it up out of the ground. You lift it out. So this was a part of the removable floor here. They had a stone in the floor, they had a ring on it, you could lift it up. And that's where you got the dirt. That's how they got to the bedrock or the dirt that was underneath it. Then you have to place enough dirt in it that it can still be visible on the water. Because it says, what? Shenemar mina far sheba karka mishkani kach boim natan elamayim. Right, so it doesn't say, what? Natan bamayim, in the water. It says natan elamayim, into the water, which means that it should still be there, even when it's in the water. So the only way it can be there when it's in the water, you have to put enough that the dirt doesn't dissolve in the water, but that it actually is still there, it's still visible once it is in the water. Right now, the Gemara says, Tana, pili shel cheres chadasha. Divi Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel believes you have to bring a new earthenware vessel, a new kli cheres to use here. My time with Rabbi Shmuel is Omer kli mi mitzora. He has a gzera shover from the kli by mitzora. Mala halan cheres chadasha, apkan cheres chadasha. Just like the kli that's required by a mitzora is a kli cheres that is new, so it's over here. So the Gemara says, how do you know by mitzora it needs a new kli cheres? What's that? That's the process of tarata mitzora. The tarata mitzora, you have to bring a kli cheres with mayim chayim, right? And then the shech, they have two birds, right? They shech one bird into the kli cheres and the blood goes in there. The other bird they let go free. And then he has an eight erez and talat, shenim talat, and then he sprinkles that water onto the mitzora. That's part of the, right, the tarata mitzora. So over there, how do you know by mitzora it needs a new kli cheres al mayim chayim? So there it says, you have to shech one of the pouring one of the birds into the kli cheres with water from a spring. So just like the water has to be from a spring, which means that they also have nothing's been done. Use this water, it's never been used before, it's pure fresh water. So we associate there's a hekesh between the kli that's used and the water that is placed in the kli by a mitzora. So just like there's mayim chayim, so too the kli cheres is shmi chadasha. Now the Gemara says, well, if you're going to make a hekesh to mitzora, then do it the full way. Shimalahalan mayim chayim, apkan mayim chayim. So just like the mitzora requires live spring water, meaning spring water to be put in there, so too by etzota, we should require spring water. But what do we say in our Mishnah? Where does the water come from? The mei kior. It comes from the kior itself. So the Gemara says, oh, you're talking about the Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel is the author of disposition that you need kli cheres? Achanami. You're right. But Rabbi Shmuel requires mayim chayim by the sota. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mei kior. What is used for the mei sota? Rabbi Yochanan says the mei kior. Rabbi Shmuel amar mei mayanim. Rather, they used from live, it's a live spring water, and that's what's used. It comes from other waters, meaning any water is good for this. So you have a...
Rabbi Yochanan is like Rabbi Shmuel.
But because, yeah, he says it's the make your. So make your necessarily weren't necessarily.
Yochanan is an Amora.
Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Oh, he says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai?
Yeah. I assume that's who it is.
Usually says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when it's somewhere.
I assume this is Rabbi Yochanan the Tana, because otherwise it doesn't make so much sense that he's arguing on Rabbi Shmuel like you're saying. Right. So make your, but he's followed by my Yanni, or Rabbi Shayim Omotain. So now the guy says, Ikele Mifrak, what type of Gezer Shavah is this? Now you have to say, what do you mean? Once you have Gezer Shavah, we don't ask on logic, there's no logical argument in Gezer Shavah. Gezer Shavah is a given, that we don't question Gezer Shavah. So here it tells us to point out that there are, it depends, like Rabbi Shmuel, who believes that you need it to be Mufne, which is that there are certain people who believe that Gezer Shavah, how many of the words that are used in Gezer Shavah, there are two words in Gezer Shavah, is what's called Mufne Mitzad Echad and Mufne Mishnei Tzadim. One of them is free, meaning one of them is an extraneous word on one point, on one side. The other one says it requires extraneous on two sides. And if you don't have those requirements, then there's what? Meshivin. You're allowed to answer, you're allowed to have logical arguments to undermine the Gezeirah Shavah. So this is according to Rabbi Shmuel, who believes that you need to be mufne on both sides in order to have it, and that we don't have over here. So therefore, there's a ability to undermine this from a logical standpoint. Mala Mitzorah Shkenton Eitz Ered Vezobish Nitalat. And Mitzorah has other requirements that don't appear by Sota, which is what? You require the stick, right? The Eitz Erez, you have to bring a cedar stick and a zov and a hyssop and a shnitalat and a string, right? You have to put them on. All these are required from Mitzorah, which are not required by Sota. So how can you learn from Mitzorah to Sota? So Amar Rabba has a different limud. Amar Kra, the Kli Cheres. Right? By the Sota, it says that you put it into the Kli Cheres. It says, Lakach Kwein Mayim Toshim Bi Kli Cheres. And you place it into the Kli Cheres. Kli Shamar to the Chakvar. The Torah is already assuming you know what this Kli Cheres is. Right, it doesn't say, right, that you have to bring a kli cheres or something like that. It says the known kli cheres, right, the kli cheres. That's known already. What does it mean that it's known already? Where did we bump into a kli cheres before? We bumped into a kli cheres by Mitzora. So that's what the Torah is making a reference to, a previous kli cheres that we already know about it. And therefore, because it could have just said, b'kach kli cheres. Take just a kli cheres, but it says what? It's on mayim, and then put the mayim into it. Why does it say big kli cheres? Big kli cheres is something I already know about. It's almost like the hey idea, right? Of hot kli cheres right here. It's big kli cheres, which sounds like it was already existent. It already was known. And what is that kli cheres? That's the one we know by mitzorah. So that's what Rava says. Just like there's a requirement of a new kli cheres by mitzorah, so too by sota there will be such a requirement. So Amar Rava. So Rava says about this water. About this kli cheres here, the argument whether you need a kli cheres or do not need a kli cheres, a new kli cheres. Rabbi Shmuel requires a new one. Right? The chachamim, those that argue in Rabbi Shmuel, do not require a new kli cheres. So Amarav lo shana lo shalom nitzakmu panav. Even those that do not require a new kli cheres, that's assuming that the kli cheres you buy is bring is not already nitzakmu from what akum here would mean blackened. Its face is not blackened. I mean, it's not been cooked with or used so much that it's already, right, singed by the fire. Already looks so awful, right, that it would not be ro'ui to be brought here into the Mikdash. Well, nikdabu panav sulim, but if it already became blackened on the outside, then already it is pasul. My time. Why is that? Dumiya de mayim, right? But just like the waters, ma mayim shlo nishtanu, a kli shlo nishtane. Just like the waters did not change their appearance, so to a kli that did not change its appearance. But which waters did not change appearance? Here we're talking about the chachamim. The chachamim by sota say that it can be what? It can be any water. Right? We said the only one who required Mayim Chaim by Silta was Rabbi Yishmael. But the Chachamim said above there was, and we know the Chachamim also don't learn from the Torah because they were Mavrich, right? They asked the question on the logic of bringing it from Silta. So they have to learn it out from Silta. What's the Chachamim's requirement by Silta? Yishar Mei Moten. It can be from any water. Any water can be brought. If any water can be brought, why can't any Kli Cheres? What's the heckish here between the Mayim, Shlo Nishtana, right, and the Kli Cheres, Shlo Nishtana? So Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, Dumi Ad Mayim, right, so if you look at the Rashi, Dumi Ad Mayim, it's a little below where we are in the Gemara. It says, Dumi Ad Mayim, Apagav Delo Gamri Mimitzora. We know that some of them don't learn it out from Mitzora, because they rejected that position. Miu, Mino Ra Gamri, they learn it out from Sota itself. Kli de Sota, mi me Sota. They learn out the Kli de Sota from me Sota. Nehi de me Sota, the Rabbanan Lab Chaim Ninhu. Even though the Chachamim don't require that it be spring water, the Makshri Misharvi Mot, because they allow you to use any waters, mi alo nishtanu. They didn't change. You clean, now you mean it's alo nishtanu. So Rashi says that the Chachamim's requirement of water still is that it has to be clear water. It has to be water that can come from a mikvah, water that can come that would be useful in other places. And even though it's not required to be spring water, it can be, at least it has to be, what? Something that is clear. Tosus challenges this and says, what? The Chachamim said that you can use any waters, including mei mikvah. And what do we know about a mikvah? Right, we know that a mikvah, that's nishtaru mareim, even if the water changed color in a mikvah, it's still kasher. I mean, just the discoloration of the water does not make it a puzzle to mikvah. If that's the case, then you can have discoloration of the mei sota, and that wouldn't be a problem. So what's the Gemara talking about it here? So Tosus the end has to go with the root, the ira, hakanami asmach the baamahu, lekele psula the rabbonon. It is that it's nasmakta the rabbanon, and therefore the psul here are bringing either it's discolored water or the discolored kli cheres. It's only nasmakta from the pasuk that brings the water together with the kli cheres, and that's only an issur the rabbanon. That the midoraisa, there is no such requirement. Just like the water can be brought any type of water, so to the kli cheres could be any kli cheres. This requirement by Rava that it not be discolored in the kli cheres is a din the rabbanon, that it should not be brought in this manner. Alright, now the Gemara says, Boi Rova, Rovi asks a question, it's Akmo, if it became blackened, they chazir on the Tocha Kibshan, and they refire it in a, right, Kibshan Aish, they refire it in the kiln, but it's Labno, and then it turned white again. I mean, so they brought it back to its original state. Mo, Mirin came into Idchu, since the cleave was not usable at some point, it's Nidche, right, it's Tachui, Odima came into Hadar, now once it comes back, totally clean, it's a new clay, and that's sufficient. Tashma, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Eitz Erez V'Izov V'Shnitolat, Chief Shil Behen Kupato. So there's a requirement by the Eitz Erez V'Izov V'Shnitolat, right, that they have to be in their original standing. So if you use them for carrying water, for instance, you take this, the Eitz Erez, you take a cedar branch, and you tie two buckets of water with it, right, and you carry something on your back, or you throw it over your back like a Johnny Appleseed, and you carry something, right, so now you're not allowed to use those. Why is that? Why is it that you're not allowed to use them? Why are they, when you throw them through, if you still blame them, Sulim? Ba'atam hadrate, right, umapshate, there, what happens? If the wood, if the branch bends, you can put pressure on it and straighten it out again, so you can return it to its original state. So you see from that, what, that something that's changed, even though it can be brought back to its original state, it is pasul. Gemara says, ba'atam hadrate mefashate, right, you can straighten it out again, right, so therefore you can go. So Gemara says, no, that's not the problem over there. The problem there is, hatam the iklus iklufe. Now the problem is that when you use the branch, that the bark gets ripped off, meaning that when you tie things on it, you place weights on it, you carry with it, not only does it get bent, which is something that you can bring back to its original state, that's fine. The problem is when it has irreversible damage to the branch. What's the irreversible damage? That the bark has fallen off, that gets rubbed off while you're doing this work, therefore it will be pasul to be used, and therefore we have no raya here that it's problematic. Right? And then Rashi over here talks about, wait, what about the fact that you did work with it? Isn't there a requirement that you don't do any work? Like Mayim Chaim, we just said above, was that it has to be live spring water, that you don't do any work with it. So here you have the Eitz Erez and the Shemitah Lat, and you're doing work with them. Why is that not considered psul in itself? So that's where it says, over here, she shield kupatul akhrab, Rashi says, Mitalokani shina seba him alakha, shwamina malakha lo kapit. Right? So the Gemara, he says over here that that's the point. The point of the Brice is the fact that the Brice could have mentioned what was the problem over here. Sulim could have been because there was work done with them. How come the fact that they don't mention that? They don't mention that at all. The fact that they don't mention it means that the Brice does not, right, have a requirement of Melacha. So therefore, that's not the issue. If that's not the issue, then there must be a secondary issue. Right? And secondary issue is what? So there are two possibilities. The Gemara says one is either because it was bent out of shape, or the other possibility there was the bark was ripped off. So if the bark is ripped off, we have no proof to our case over here. Tosfos does challenge Rashi over here and says that's not true. Elsewhere in Shas, we see that when you do work with the eight areas, the Shnitalat and the, right, and the, Izov, that it is Sulim. And guess who's the author of that position? The author of that position is Rabbi Eliezer. Gupe is the one who has that position. He's the author of this Braisa over here. So he says, I don't know where Rashi got that from. Right? Tosfos says that's a question. But he says that that's a problem, because Rabbi Eliezer himself is the author of such a position elsewhere in Shas. Alright, next. Nechnas le'echal, upanel yimino. Upanel yimino. He goes to his right when he enters into the echal. My timer. Why does he have to go to his right? Why doesn't he just go directly to the stone? So amar mar, kopinocha taponelo yehu ela derech yamin. All turns that you make should always be to your right. We have that in the Gemara Yoma, we have it in Zochim, about the Mizbeach. That had to go around the Mizbeach and circle it to the right side. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from the, actually it's funny, it's the Kior. We have it from the Kior in Shlomo HaMelech, when it describes that they had 12 Shvarim, or 12 Parim, that held up the Kior. When it goes around describing them, it goes right to left. It encircles them when they're describing them. It walks around the Kior and describing them right around to the right side. So that Gemara proves that whenever you have to be poneh, we always choose the right side. So now the Gemara continues, Mokum Aya Sham Ama Lama, Taner Abanan, Umina Farshi Yeh, Yachol Yitakin Mi Bachutz. You think you bring in the dirt from outside, Yachnis, and bring it in, Tamadomar, but Karka Mishkan, it's got to be there. You think you'd have to take in a spade and dig out the dirt that's there, Talmud Omar, Asheriya, that it has to already be ready in there. Hakate said, what's the case? How do you do this? Yesham, if there's loose dirt underneath the rock, then you take that. Avei, then take it. Ainsham, Tainsham. If there's not, then you have to take loose dirt, place it in that location, and then from there, take it out. Meaning that you can't simply bring in the dirt from the outside, you have to actually put it there in so it becomes part of Karka Mishkan. Once it becomes Karka Mishkan, you can remove it. There, but we don't make you dig in that location to get the dirt out.
We're pessimistic it's going to happen.
That it's
going to. Sota will be right. Coming on the trail.
Maybe enough dirt to.
Good. Tanya Yidach. So now another bright. So, Mina Farshir, yeah. So there is Amalame Chayim Takin Bachut Machnis. This is the opposite. This is not what our Bryce has said. This is my Stein argues and says what? You bring it from the outside and put it in. Machnis Bakarga Mishkan. Isi bin Yudomer Lavi Karka Shiloh Nov Vigivon Upeit Olamim. So Isi bin Yudah says what to include, that not only is it Karka Mishkan, right? So what is this? I mean, Asheriyah teaches you wherever you are. Wherever you are, not just the Mishkan, but even in the Karka of Shiloh Nov Givon Upeit Olamim. And Isi bin Menachem Omer, who probably is the author of the previous brisa, ain't no tariq. You don't need this. Ma betuma kala lo chalaka katum betumat eshet ish kamura lo kol shekein. So what? The Torah never differentiates or distinguishes between what? Tuma kala. What does that mean, tuma kala? You're not allowed to go into the mikdash when you have tuma saguf. When you are tameh, you're not allowed to enter the mikdash and eat kachim. No one differentiates between mishkan and mikdash in that case. And when we're talking about ish and ish, which is much more chamor, I mean, it's really to, there is only a chiyuv karis. Over here, you have misa mis beizdin. Ish and ish is a misa that happens here. The beizdin executes for it. So seer, certainly chamor lo koshkin. Certainly over there, we're not going to distinguish between Mishkan and Mikdash. In game, matam lover b'karka Mishkan, right? So what does it mean b'karka Mishkan? Shelo yavi b'tol kupato. You can't bring it from the outside. And they don't bring a kupa full of dirt and bring it in there. Rather, he's probably the author of our brisa before. It says that you have to take it from the karka Mishkan. It's not there. You have to place it in the karka Mishkan. There is a massive machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos about the girsa here. Rashi amends the girsa here to read, right? He eliminates Gnov, Vigivon, and even Shiloh. He says, why? They're not necessary. First of all, Shiloh is not necessary because Shiloh was a, right, Mishkan. Right, so if Shiloh is the Mishkan, then what do you need a special limud to include Shiloh if it's already the Mishkan? That's one. Gnov and Givon, right, Gnov and Givon are Bamot. They were not Mishkan, they were a Bama. And they, right, Bamot Sibur, and a Bamit Sibur, you're not allowed to bring a Karban Chovah, She'ena Kavua Zman of a Yochid. which means that only things that are allowed to be brought on a bamat shibur are, first of all, korbanet shibur, number one, or a korban yachid, or a korban of a yachid that is zmano kavua, that it has a fixed time when you bring it. The korban yachid when you have a fixed time that's brought, and right, Pesach would be an example of that, and also you can bring nidar v'nidah, something that is a voluntary offering can be brought there, although those can be brought even in your backyard in that time, because the time of Nov Givon, bamot yachid are mutarim. So Radash says, what do you need in inclusion here? What's the korban of a sota? Korban of a sota is a korban yachid. Sheina kavua lazman. It's a chovah. Sheina kavua lazman. You can't bring it on it, Novi Givon. Can't bring it on Novi Givon. What do you have to include karka mishkan for Novi Givon? So Rashi eliminates the gifts of Shiloh, Nov, and Givon, and only includes, he says, lavi karka beit olamim. The only thing that the Gemara needed for was the karka of beit olamim. So otherwise, there's no reason to include it. You have a mishkan, and the other two don't have requirements of sota. Tosfos, on the other hand, disagrees with Rashi's girsa. He says he doesn't think that's a good position, right? Because there's another position in the Gemara in Tzvachim that says kosher tzibur v'yachid makuvim ba'ol moed shemidbar v'midbar makuvim ba'ol moed shemidgilgal and chiluk b'yachid v'mit b'amato shemirosh gadol. The only difference is about what you bring outside of there, not about what you bring on the bama. Not what you bring on the bama tzibur, but there is only what you bring on your backyard. That's the difference when the dov and gibon. And therefore he wants to include them. So therefore he includes. Then, based on him, he says, why, Tosfos asks the question, why do you have to include the Mikdash? I mean, the Gemara itself brings this. Isi Ben Menachem says, we never differentiate between Mishkan and Mikdash. Whenever it says Mishkan, that's how we say that means Mikdash. And whenever it says Mikdash, it means Mishkan. We use them interchangeably. The two terms are used interchangeably. So Tosfos is just dragged along with the rest of them. Beit Olamim is dragged along. So that works well according to Tosfos, who has a sheet that says you needed Nov and Givon. If you need Nov and Givon, then you can say that it dragged along Beit Olamim. According to Rashi, you eliminate Nov and Givon. The only thing left is Beit Olamim is on Mikdash. How can you say Mikdash? You don't even need Mikdash, because that's already mentioned. So Tosfos says, according to Rashi's Girsa, it becomes very difficult to say. You know, why is it that you have to include Beit Olamim? If we find another Gemaras, and Tosfos brings a number of Gemaras, where Mishkan and Mikdash are used interchangeably, or the Gemara says that Mikdash, the Mishkan is called a Mikdash, the Mikdash is also called the Mishkan in the Torah. And therefore, why do you need a special limud for it? So Tosfos says, no, the limud is for Nov and Givon, we drag along Mikdash. Rashi says you don't need a limud from Nov and Givon, so he eliminates them from the gear. So now he just says Beit Olamim left. Rashi's only including Mikdash. If he's only including Mikdash, what do you need it for? So, all right, we'll stop here, and the Gemara is going to continue along these lines tomorrow.